Good morning. In here at home, we are so glad that you're with us this morning. So I'm thankful for Travis Kay, who is the music director at CAC, and he shared that with me, and I was eager to share that with all of you. That is just a beautiful choral arrangement that they did. And again, one of the things that we've been blessed by there during this time is all the ways that our many members have been able to show and use their many gifts to give God glory and to bless us. And so we are grateful for that. Well, during this summer, where all kinds of activities that our family counted on and all kinds of plans that we have been canceled, we have done what everyone else has done. We tried to scramble and find new things to do to maintain our sanity and get out of the house. And one of the best things that our family has landed on is that we have gotten into walking and hiking a lot as a family, which brings us to this past week. For a couple of days, this last week, we traveled to Northwest Arkansas. So we hiked two times for the first time at Devil's Den State Park. And I know some of you have been there. The Yates were there a couple of weeks ago. It is gorgeous if you've never been there. And if you hike through the park, then you can get to a place where there's a waterfall, or this week, because there's been no rain for a while, it was a water drip, but it was still beautiful for us to see. And there are these massive crevices in the rocks all over, and they're just impressive to see. There are caves that you can climb to. Now, you can't go in anymore because of a fungus that's been affecting bats, and so they've been closed for about 12 years now. But all of these paths, all of this beautiful scenery is accessible to average hikers like the Reynolds family, because almost 100 years ago, in the 30s, the Civilian Conservation Corps went into this forested, hilly area, and they started carving out paths. Now, the paths are still rough. There are rocks everywhere. Some of them are rocks that they place to make to manage your way, and some of them are just rocks that are naturally there, and there are tree roots all through the paths, and there are some really narrow places, and there are some steep places, but if you take your time, and if you watch where you're going, then even the average hiker can make it across these paths, and it really is a beautiful experience. It's not as rough as it would have been, just untouched, forested, hilly land. But you got to be careful. Far easier to navigate were all the times that we walked the paths near the Crystal Bridges Museum. Now, if you've never been to Crystal Bridges, it's got some world-class art there, and it's free, and that's always nice. But part of what makes Crystal Bridges so impressive is the architecture of the building. It's really phenomenal. And what makes it stand out from so many other museums I know that I've been to, and probably that you've been to, is how thoughtfully it was planted, created within the beautiful natural surroundings all around it. And so there's these beautiful sculptures and trails that you can walk outside. And these trails are paved, and they're easy to navigate. And there's trails all around Crystal Bridges, and then that area of the state is known for its walking and jogging and biking trails, and so it connects there. And these trails that are paved are smooth and sort of gradually sloping, and they're wide enough that a whole family can walk side by side, and families with strollers or families with pets, and there's still enough room for all the bikers to go flying by while they shout out, "Left! On your left!" We were never walking fast enough to have to let anyone know, "Left! The Reynolds are coming on your left. We're just taking our time on those easy trails near Crystal Bridges. Which brings me to how you get to Northwest Arkansas and the Fayetteville and Bentonville area in the first place. Now, some of you went to the U of A. I did not attend the U of A, and I had never visited Fayetteville until we moved to Little Rock. And the first time I hit that section of 49, just north of Fort Smith, on the way to Fayetteville, I was blown away with the beauty of that area. Now, for a little context, for those of you who don't know, Paige and I went to college in Abilene, Texas. And if you've never been to Abilene, Texas, Abilene is in West Texas. It's 2.5 hours from Dallas, Fort Worth. And the path from Fort Smith to Fayetteville is green and lush and beautiful. And Abilene, well, it's got a really high speed limit, and everyone loves that. And all of I-20 has a high speed limit, but I think they do that because you're trying to get through as quickly as possible, or you're trying to get out of there as quickly as possible. I don't know all the details of how creation worked, but I have a feeling by the time God got to West Texas, he was mostly down to browns on his palate. It was just a few flecks of green where he could still spot some trees and bushes every once in a while. We loved our college experience, but the scenery, not as much. But when you get on 49 on the way to Fayetteville, you're driving through the lush Ozark Mountains and valleys. And one of my favorite parts of that drive, and I probably annoyed Paige all the times when I would bring it up, was all the times when you get on those bridges that would take you from one Ozark mountain to the other, over the valleys underneath. And I started thinking about all the engineering, all the planning it takes to put an interstate in such a hilly and winding area like that, so that you can travel quickly and safely at high speed. So you've got that tunnel, the Bobby Hopper Tunnel. You don't have to go over a mountain. You don't have to go down a mountain. You just go through the mountain. And our family screamed from start to finish. We just, as we're going through that tunnel. And then you get to some places and they've just taken the top of the mountain off. They've carved it off, or they blew it off with TNT, or however they do that these days. And so you don't have as steep of an incline. You don't have as steep of a decline. And then there are all those long bridges. And they don't just take you over water, although there's a little bit of water down there, but it's all the valleys as well. So you don't have to go down near as far. You don't have to go up near as far. We got away for one afternoon to Eureka Springs, and that drive is slow, and you speed up and you slow down, and you speed up and you slow down because you're winding everywhere and you're going up and down and around. That's the difference between an interstate and just a highway through a windy area. Now, I'm going to come back to those images in just a moment. But first, I want to revisit the words from Isaiah 40 that Rhonda Coulson read for us. And Rhonda, I love it when you read because you've got such enthusiasm and energy. So thank you for doing that for us. But to revisit the words of Isaiah 40, I want to actually visit them in the person of John the Baptist, because if you've spent much time in the Gospels, then you might have noticed that every one of the Gospels, when talking about John the Baptist, reference that Isaiah 40 passage in one way or another. So here's Luke 3's account of that. Starting in verse 3, John went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And I love this next part. Listen, every valley should be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. So in the ancient Near East, representatives would be sent ahead when there was a visiting monarch or dignitary that was about to go to a region or a town. And they would be sent with words like this: get ready, prepare the way, make the way ready. And the readiness is not just something that happens in the city or the town or the village, but it also happens on the path along the way. Are there any repairs that need to happen on the road? Get those done. Are there any potholes that need to be filled? You got to take care of that. Are there any bridges that need to be fixed? Make sure those are taken care of. You don't want anything to impede the royal processional. You want the way prepared as that dignitary, as that monarch is coming. Now, do you remember the message of John the Baptist? When John talks about preparing the way for the Lord, it usually boils down to one word. You know the word? Repentance. Repent. Repent. Now, repenting is not apologizing, although that can be a part of repentance. But repentance is turning from one path to another, from one direction to another. It literally means a U-turn, doing a 180 if you happen to be heading in the complete opposite direction of where you need to go. Or, to continue the road building imagery, repenting is moving from a destructive path to a constructive path. But even on that path, it's removing the impediments, and it's building bridges, and it's straightening the road. It is smoothing the path between us and God, between the ways of God and the way we navigate through this world. And so, when various groups from tax collectors, soldiers, religious leaders, people at large come to John the Baptist and they ask him, what should we do? John gives them concrete answers in regard to repentance. Here's the path you're walking. Here's the path you should be walking. Here's some obstacles in the way that need to be moved. Here's some bridges that need to be built. So when soldiers come to John and they say, what should we do? John says, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely and be content with your pay. It's not just, well, say you're sorry. It's not just an apology, although that moment of regret can be helpful in moving us in the right direction. But it's more than, hey, I'm really sorry I extorted money from you. That false accusation stuff, that wasn't right. I should probably be more content. No, it's the hard work of getting off the destructive, less desirable path, getting on to a better path, and then clearing the way on that better path so that it becomes easier and easier to walk in the way of Jesus, to walk in the way of mercy and justice, of righteousness and love, goodness and compassion. So, here's why I bring this up. During this pandemic, for the last several months, reports have continued to come out that says more and more people are sharing that they're having more and more trouble maintaining good habits. And at the same time, as things like anxiety and boredom and loneliness and depression and despair and hopelessness and all of these things increase, then people are also reporting that they're kind of walking into more harmful habits, more destructive coping mechanisms. So, reports say drug and alcohol abuse are up, and addiction is up, and overdoses are up, pornography addiction is up, conflict in relationships is up, because proximity is up, and annoyance is up, and domestic abuse is up. And I don't have a statistical figure for this, but it sure seems like cases of rage and cases of being jerks, I don't know if that's a clinical diagnosis, but perhaps it should be. That seems to be up. People everywhere are panic reading every article that's posted or angry watching every update that shows up on the news, and we're struggling to deal with all of that in healthy ways. So I want to talk a little bit more about our habits. Because neuroscientists like to connect our habits to what they describe as neural pathways in the brain. And when they talk about that, what they mean is when we do something, the more it becomes a habit, the more automatic it becomes. We don't even have to think about it. We can cruise through life a little bit more. It takes less mental energy and focus. The more that happens, the more we create these smooth pathways in the brain. Once we start on them, we just keep on going. We just keep on traveling because they become more and more wide open and well-worn. And this is true for any habits. It's true for good habits. It's also true for bad habits. And so these neural pathways, they make it easier to travel constructive paths once we get on those and once we build up a routine and repetition, but they also make it easier to travel less than desirable pathways, more destructive pathways. And that makes it harder to get off because it's so easy and natural and almost automatic to travel once we get on, once those paths are well worn. So I want you to hear a couple of things. If you find yourself on some of those less than desirable paths these days, maybe they're new for you, or maybe these are paths you've been on for a long time and things are just exacerbated as we're in the midst of this difficult stretch. The first thing I would tell you is whatever destructive path you may be walking, we've all been there in one form or another. So you are not alone. We are not here to judge. What we are here to do is love one another and encourage one another and walk together to support one another in being the best you and me that God is making us and remaking us to be. And I will also remind you that God is here for you. And though it's been a while since we heard that Isaiah passage, the message of Isaiah 40 is a message of comfort. Comfort because Israel's sins have been paid for. And John's message of repentance is also a message of forgiveness. But here's the next thing I would remind you. Forgiveness is a lifeline into a new way, onto a better path. But when forgiveness is coupled with repentance, then it means we join in that work. Sometimes that hard work of moving from the less desirable, sometimes destructive paths, and on to the better way, the more constructive road, the way of Jesus. So, if we want to move away from destructive paths, the bad habits, and on to more constructive paths, that's going to include a couple of things, and that's what I want to conclude with this morning. I think it starts with reflection. And part of that is spending regular time in honest examination. What kind of paths am I walking right now? And when you're on healthy and constructive paths, rejoice in that. Acknowledge that. Celebrate that, because that helps you keep going. But if you find that you're on some less than desirable paths, some destructive paths, then be honest about that. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Be honest with a trusted friend. Confession is just honesty with ourselves and with God and with one another. But there's also a little bit more, because the reflection goes deeper. If we want to get off of those destructive paths, then reflection also has to include being honest about why and how and when we keep getting on those paths in the first place. Where's the on-ramp that we're getting on without even thinking about it? What are the triggers that put us there? Are there certain stresses, certain times of day, certain people, certain places? The way that you're feeling, the struggles that you're having, the more honest we can be with ourselves, not just about the paths that we're on that we need to get off, but the reason we keep getting on those paths in the first place, the easier it is to map out a new route and to start traveling a different path instead. Which brings us to the second thing, resistance. When you're dealing with less than desirable habits that you want to break, one of the ways that we do that is we create resistance in that path. Or as Isaiah and John might say, we put more valleys and hills in the way. We make that path more winding, more rough. We make it where it's not as easy to travel down without thinking about it. So, if you find that with every spare moment, and even moments that aren't spare, you're looking on your phone at certain social media apps that you don't want to spend as much time as you find yourself spending time on, or that you find that you become someone you don't always like when you're on there, or you walk away with feelings that you don't always like. Little moments of resistance, like taking the app off your phone so it's harder to look at, makes little pauses in that habit. It doesn't mean you can't bypass it. It doesn't mean you can't find workarounds. But even those little impediments along the path start to become interruptions to the habits. If you check your phone constantly, when you're at the table with family, when you're talking with someone else, when you're in a meeting or a class, leave it in another room. Turn it off for a while so it's more cumbersome to turn it on. And those little interferences and interruptions make it harder to keep going with that habit. This is what people found when they were trying to curb the cigarette use in the middle of the last century. So there was a time when about 50% of Americans smoked cigarettes long after they had discovered, hey, you know, this may not be the best, healthiest habit for us, but habits are hard to break. And so they started to put little impediments along the way. Raise the taxes a little bit. It hurts just a little bit more. Make it a little harder to buy. They're still available, but now you have to talk with someone behind a counter instead of you being able to just grab them yourself or to go to a vending machine. Some of you are old enough to remember cigarette vending machines outside of restaurants. Be like, do I want a piece of gum or do I want to get some cigarettes before I go? Easy access to more difficult access. Less places where you can partake. And the numbers went from about 50% slowly to down about 15%. It doesn't take it away, but those little impediments make it harder. And the reverse of that is also true. When you want to develop a habit, then you start to remove the resistance, the impediments, or you fill in the valleys and you lower the hills. So research has found that people who say, I want to eat healthier, if they have two snacks ready-made right in front of them, within arm's reach, buttery, soaking popcorn, movie theater popcorn, or sliced apples, they're going to reach for the less healthy. But if you leave the sliced apples within arm's reach and you put the sweet, delicious, buttery popcorn just in the other room, then just that little extra you have to go through means that 30-35% will now reach for the apple when they would have reached for the other. Just that little change. You make this a little easier. You make that a little bit harder. And those are the little things that start to get us on better paths. In other words, it's not just willpower. We create resistance on the paths we don't want to keep walking, create barriers, reduce convenience. And on the paths we want to walk, we start to reduce the resistance. And the next one is repetition. The more you develop a routine and repeat, the more natural something becomes. So if you want to grow in your prayer or your Bible study or your meditation or scripture reading or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be this monumental, skies-parting experience every time you do it. There is something good that happens even if you're not sure that something good came out of it every time. God is with you. God is moving during those times, but also you are smoothing the pathways in your brain. You're deepening those paths. So it's easier and easier to travel. The more the routine, the more the repetition, the easier something becomes, the more natural it becomes over time. So what starts out as an overgrown forest with repetition becomes like those paths I described at Devil's Den. And with more time, it becomes like those concrete paths around Crystal Bridges. And still more time, then it becomes like I-49, those neural paths, those repetitions start to become easier and easier on that path between us and God and the ways of God and the habits that we're trying to form. And the last one is this: work in a little reward associated with this thing you're trying to build. Now, you might say, shouldn't doing something good be a reward in and of itself? And we just rejoice in that? And I would say, yes. And when you do something good, rejoice in it and notice it, because that helps. And you might say, well, don't we have a great reward that awaits us? Shouldn't that be enough? It probably should. But is it? Not always. We all know some of the things we don't want to do, but we keep doing. And we all know some things we want to do, but we don't do. But when we can attach something that's difficult to something that we find joyful and rewarding, then we start to associate that difficult thing with that joyful thing. So those who say they want to exercise more, eventually, I hear, runners get a runner's high at the end. The endorphins are enough. That propels you on. But if you're not to the runner's high place yet, then attach that good thing or that difficult thing with a good thing. You run with a friend that you want to see. And then you say, we'll grab some coffee when this is over and spend a little time together. And that difficult thing is coupled with this thing that you look forward to and you enjoy. And over time, then the difficult thing becomes more enjoyable as we go. Simple little rewards, moments of rejoicing, they create joy even when a task is tedious or tiresome at first. So these can be easy times for less than desirable habits to form and grow. These can be hard times to create and hold on to constructive habits. Jesus never said that walking in His way was easy. What He says is walking in His way, the way, is the way of life, and it is worth it. So straighten the path for Jesus to come.